It is good to see all of you here today. I do pray that God has blessed you in this past week. I do pray that He is with you this morning and that He will strengthen you in your walk with Him through the words that we share today and just through the renewal and reviving of our spirit that we should receive every week when we gather together for His Word, right? Amen. Amen. All right, this morning, because I'm not going to be here for Thanksgiving, I want to share a Thanksgiving sermon. How's that? And so this morning, I'm going to ask that y'all turn with me to Psalm 23. And we'll be looking at the 23rd Psalm. I'll ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. One of our favorite Psalms, one of our most loved Psalms, one that speaks to us some really wonderful truths about our Savior. I'm just going to read beginning there in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for these words of praise and adoration. Lord, thank You that we can speak these words ourselves. Thank You for saving us, for giving us hope, giving us life, and giving it eternal. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You know, I love the 23rd Psalm. I know many of us love the 23rd Psalm. It speaks to us about a Savior. And David was writing, you know, having a glimpse of who our Savior was going to be and the kind of person that He would be and the kind of Lord that He would be for us all, not just David, but for all people. And I think that the placement of the 23rd Psalm is truly wonderful as well, because if you look at your scripture, if you look at the 22nd Psalm, and it's funny how numbers work like this. You have 22, 23, and 24, and isn't it great how that works? How the numbers keep everything in order? But it's the content. The 22nd Psalm is a cry of persecution. And David even shares these words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And so in the 22nd Psalm, we see despair. We see pain and agony. We even see the crucifixion hundreds of years before this was ever used. But there's something that is really wonderful that happens in the 22nd Psalm. And if you have your Bible open, I want you to look at verse 21, because I want to read this. Verse 21 says, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. And then there's supposed to be an intermission. There are some words that follow. But you know what an intermission is. It's like going to see a grand movie. I love this old Western. It's called The Big Country. How many of you know it? I love that movie. You know, and got a big starting, you know, theatrical presence at the beginning. You have intermission. And I just love that. Well, here is an intermission. The cry of pain and agony and the plea for forgiveness or for salvation. And he says, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. And then there's a pause. You should pause before you read those next words, because here are what those words say. You have answered me. So all the way up until this point, it's a cry of persecution and a plea for salvation to be rescued. But following this, you have answered me. You begin in verse 22 with these words. I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Despair is gone. Agony is disappeared. And hope is restored. And so in the 22nd Psalm, you see the crucifixion, but there at that intermission when he's pleading for help, he says, wait, you've answered me. And then he begins to tell us how he's going to praise God in the assembly among all of his brethren. Because of the goodness of God, he is praising. Even at the end, he says, all the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, and those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself, a posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation, and they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Sharing a wonderful portrait of the suffering and the agony of the Christ, but the praise that will follow afterwards. Because there must be some goodness that's coming. And then, bang, right there it is. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And what a wonderful praise to our God it is. A psalm of thanksgiving is what it is. Isaiah 40 says this, He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. A wonderful portrait of our Savior. David is already telling us that after the agony and the suffering, there's going to be something wonderful that's going to happen, and that there will be praise of God because of it. And he's celebrating even more in the 23rd Psalm. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to lead me in the green pastures and beside the still waters. And he will restore my soul. How many of you have ever found yourself in need or wondering why the grass was so dry where you were? Felt like he needed your soul to be restored. If you know Jesus Christ, you shouldn't be so parched that you can't find the hope of your salvation in him. You should be thankful for everything that is in your life, whether it's the good or the bad. I remind you again, Paul says, whether I have little or whether I have much, I have learned that God is good. And he is always good to his people. Why, he's still good to those who aren't his people. Look at the grace and the mercy that is still on this world today, waiting for people to come and find peace with him, salvation through him, forgiveness of sins, and restoration because of repentance. I shall not want. I'm going to walk in green pastures and by the still waters. All of these are spiritual blessings to us who are in Christ. And we know these things. How many of us know these things? Can I get an amen for that? I mean, God is so good to us. He provides. There's provision. There's peace. There's restoration. And it's always with us. And those times when we feel like we've lost it, if we just turn our eyes back to Jesus, what happens? We turn our heart back to Christ. What happens? When we plead for forgiveness, what happens? Provision, peace, restoration. We find these things again. And I want to tell you something. This home that David is talking about, where there is provision and peace and restoration. Not everybody lives in this world. Not everyone lives in a home that is peaceful, that has everything that is needed, that provides hope to the weary. Not everybody grows up in a home where there's restoration every day, even if you've made a mistake, you've done something wrong, where parents love and restore the way that parents really should love and restore. This home that Christ, that we're talking about in Christ, that we shall live in, it's not a home that's lacking in provision, but it's one where everyone is filled. It's not a home where anyone must fear someone else that is in that home, but one that is filled with peace. And it's not a home where a soul is depressed, but is instead lifted up in the greatest of love so that it can have happiness and joy and life. And this is the kind of home we seek, isn't it? This is what our life should be, walking in Christ every day. When we say these words, I shall not want, and he will walk me through the green pastures and beside the still waters, and my soul will be restored. We should think of nothing but the goodness of Christ. Green pastures and calm waters. You know, life is rough, isn't it? And when you see these words, I want you to think about this. Walking in a pasture where the grass is just lush and green and soft. I mean, I've seen pastures where there are portions like that, and I've seen the other side of the hills parched. You've seen that, haven't you? But we're talking about from one side to the other is just lush and green, and the gentle streams that are flowing. They trickle and they give the sound of refreshment and peace. They're not roaring, ready to sweep you away if you try to get too close to get a drink of water. These are going to be calm waters, still waters, where you can see the reflection of the beautiful green grass in it, and the tree maybe on the other side. How wonderful it is to see these things and to know that this is a place of peace and hope and joy, where there is no fear, there is no want, and there is no hopelessness, because God has brought us into Himself. But to get there, we've got to take a journey. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And, you know, in this mortality that we're embraced with, this mortal life that we are living, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There is not a single person in here who is not facing death. We all are facing death. A time when we must step from this mortal life into the immortal life. But between this day and that, there will be times of trouble, there will be times of harm, and there will be moments when we feel like we've been abandoned. But I'm telling you, don't give up, because God has not abandoned us. He is with us, and His rod and His staff, they will protect and they will comfort. But I want to tell you this too. Being sheep, we're pretty dumb at times. And I know I've shared with you the it ain't so bad joke before, so I won't do that again. But you know that staff that he carries. And you've seen pictures of shepherds, and they've got those staffs, and they have a hook on the end. You know, a lot of people don't realize, and I've shared it, so you may have heard it, and you're going to hear it again, because we sheep are sometimes bad. We wander, don't we? And we get out of that green pasture that we should be so happy with, and we find ourselves wanting something else that we really don't need or have any spiritual consolation in. Jesus said, who among you, if they're missing one sheep, won't leave the 99 and go find the one? Well, Jesus, being the shepherd that he is, he's after all of us. And if we go astray, he's coming for us. He wants to help us. He wants to be there when we turn to him and cry out. But let me tell you, even a shepherd, if he has a sheep that is really bad, hard-headed, you know, in-laws, that shepherd will take that staff. With that hook, he will grab it by the leg and pop his leg. He'll break his leg so that he can't run anymore. And when he puts him back in the field with the rest of the sheep, that broken leg's going to keep that sheep there. You ever feel like in life sometimes God has had to punish you with the rod? He's had to give you a really good whack to keep you in place. It's not because he doesn't love you. It is because he does love you. And sometimes the best protection for his sheep is to give it a good whack. Not let the wolf devour it, but for himself to reach down and put us in place, and in a way that will keep us there. And we should thank him that he loves us so much. Because not only will his rod comfort us, but it will protect us. Even if it means protecting us from ourselves. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort you. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. We go through this journey, this walk, this immortal life, and we have our moments, and we have our moments. We know that God is with us. We know that he is protecting us. His rod and his staff is there to protect and to comfort us. But when this life is over, there's something special that is waiting. A table that has been prepared for all of his sheep. For all of those who have come and found forgiveness in him. For all of those who were strong enough to say, you know, I am a sinner. And I am not perfect. And I do need forgiveness. And I need a master over my life. I need a Lord and a Savior over my life. And have been able to bend the knee willingly and to profess Jesus for who he is, Lord and Savior. And in the same breath announce how terrible we are, but because of his goodness, our hope is restored. Our joy is restored. Our life is renewed in him. And he prepares this table so that when we walk out of this life and step into the eternal life, there's a table that is waiting, that he has prepared. And he will anoint us with the refreshing oil of his love and show us our place and have a cup that is ready with the best of wine to sit down and to share a meal, a Thanksgiving meal with our Savior. You know, I know when we get together with family, we always are thankful that we have time one with another. I'm thankful when I have time with you as family. I'm thankful when I can see my blood family and have time with them. And we always should give thanks to God for those times that we share together. Are you thanking God for what you've yet to see, though? What he's already preparing for you? You know, when he says in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, he's not just talking about a place where you can walk around. He's talking about a place where you can sit, be anointed with oil, and enjoy the fellowship of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And there at the head of the table, our Savior who has saved us. And we can praise Him and thank Him and love Him all together in one great wonderful chorus. Choir of heaven singing our thanks and praise. You know how wonderful that's going to be? If you know the shepherd, it's going to be something wonderful. And it's not just for a moment. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not going to end. From that moment forward. Now, I know a lot of you don't understand what it's going to be like to be happy. You can't stand it for 5 minutes if you're happy, right? Y'all know people like that? You're looking at somebody that's like that quite a bit. Can't stand to be happy more than 5 minutes. I got to let everybody around me know it too. 5 minutes is up. Let's move on. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? And you're celebrating and you're celebrating and you find out you don't have a watch. There's no alarm clock to stop it. There's nothing to stop it. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has sealed it. And it is what it is, and it always will be. Provision and hope and peace and joy and life eternal in His presence. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I want to share this with you in Psalms 27. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We see it here before we ever see it there. But you've got to know the shepherd. And I'm asking you, do you know the shepherd? Do you know who the shepherd is? Because I want to tell you, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And so I'm asking you this morning, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you know how to be thankful for these things in your life? Because He has called you to enter into this peace through Him, through this joy through Him. And through this life in Him. And I'm asking you to hear His call and to bow your knee and to find that life and that peace in Him today while we have this time. Will you come while the altar is open? Father, I thank You so much for this day. And I do thank You, Father, for the forgiveness of sin, for the restoration of life and of hope. And Lord, for a look at things yet to come. And for the faith to see it and to know it. And to walk every day for it. And to honor You as You have honored us. Father, if there's one who does not know You, I pray today they will find their peace in You, their restoration, and their life. And I ask it to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?